Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about Tesla getting kicked out of the S&P 500 ESG index. We've also got news on the Texas-made Model Y, some updates on supercharging, news out of China, Tesla sales in California, some FSD updates, and more. Looking at the markets, Tesla today finishing down 6.8% to $709.81, while the NASDAQ with another terrible day down 4.7%. So really not that much of an underperformance from Tesla today considering the beta, but the NASDAQ will dust off our table again here. This was one of the worst days for the NASDAQ in the last 5 years, number 7 to be precise. I've highlighted the days on here that have fallen within the last month. So 4 of the worst 15 days in the last 5 years have been within the last month. Similar story if we look over a 2-year time period. This was the 4th worst day in the last 2 years, and 6 of those worst 15 within the last month. So it's rough out there for everything. It's not just Elon tweeting about politics and Twitter. It's obviously not probably the most helpful thing, but don't try and sit there and go, oh, Tesla's down 7% today because Elon can't stop talking about politics. That's not what's happening. Tesla is actually holding up extremely well. Since March 1st, before any of the Twitter stuff came out, Tesla is down 18%. The NASDAQ is down 16%. I can't emphasize it enough. Do not get distracted by the noise. There is a lot of noise. It is very distracting. But if you cannot focus through difficult periods of time like this, you are not going to be a successful investor. This is what it's all about. These are the periods of time that shake out strong investors from weak ones. Literally anybody can make money in a bull market. It's extremely easy. That's how the market has been for a long time. Now it's harder. That doesn't mean the opportunity has ceased to exist. It's just more narrow right now, where instead of everybody or every company or every asset winning, it's going to be a select few. I believe strongly that Tesla is one of those select few. As I said before, Tesla is not just a strong disruptive company, Tesla is elite. So chins up, and if you can't handle Elon speaking his mind on Twitter, then look for something else that is a good investment. There is other opportunity out there. Go and find it if you don't think it's here. Now, with that being said, I'm not a huge fan of Elon Musk's tweets today or this week either. I think he could be a lot more tactful in his approach. I think Elon holds a rare position of actually having the potential to bring people together, and right now, that's not the path he is choosing. He is choosing division. I think his thoughts and his feelings are very understandable, but I wish he would just approach it with a little bit of a different mindset. I think his intentions are good, but I think his tactics are suboptimal and put him in a position that is much easier to attack and to further antagonize and ostracize. Now, that being said, to me, Elon Musk has more than earned the benefit of the doubt. The same characteristics that we're seeing here with the Twitter stuff, with the political stuff, that, oh, Elon moves quickly and maybe makes mistakes and maybe speaks his mind a little bit too freely. These are traits that Elon has had that have been very effective for him, that have led him to great achievements, world-changing achievements. So I at least, and maybe you, at least need to consider the possibility that while we might choose a different path if we were in Elon's shoes, maybe his is more effective than what we would do. It's a fine line because that doesn't mean we can't express our concerns or our criticisms or share our opinions, but some consideration should be given to the net good that some of those qualities have led to. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the S&P 500 ESG index. So this is not the normal S&P 500. This is not what a lot of funds are benchmarked to. So this is not all that impactful for Tesla. Tesla has been kicked out of the S&P 500 ESG as a part of the rebalancing process that they do annually. If you're not familiar with ESG, by the way, that stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance, and generally is used to get a group of better companies that are doing better things than the companies that a general index might contain. I'm sure only with the purpose of aiming for peak irony, a couple of the companies that have been added to the S&P 500 ESG index are Marathon Oil Corporation and Phillips 66. Do I need to explain any more how much nonsense this is? Well, probably not, but I am going to anyway because it does not get any better. S&P explains this by saying, quote, Tesla was ineligible for index inclusion due to its low S&P Dow Jones Indices ESG score, which fell in the bottom 25% of its global GICS industry group peers, end quote. So this is where things get even more ridiculous because S&P themselves say that their main objective for the S&P 500 ESG index, quote, is to maintain similar overall industry group weights to the S&P 500 while enhancing the overall sustainability profile of the index, end quote. So not only are they not including Tesla, somehow the reason for not including Tesla is their ESG score relative to other automakers and automaker component suppliers. If you're going to try to maintain industry weightings, then sure, it makes sense to have a couple of oil companies in there and just exclude the worst offenders in that group. At least there is some rationale to stand behind there, but cutting out Tesla in favor of other automakers, that's just nonsense. S&P goes on to ask themselves the same question that we're all thinking, but how can a company whose self-declared mission is to accelerate the world's transition to sustainable energy not make the cut in an ESG index? Ah, yes, that is a great question. S&P says, quote, there are many reasons. First and foremost, the GSES industry group in which Tesla is assessed, automobiles and components, experienced an overall increase in its average S&P DJI ESG score. So while Tesla's S&P DJI ESG score has remained fairly stable year over year, it was pushed further down the ranks relative to its global industry group peers. A few of the factors contributing to its 2021 S&P DJI ESG score were a decline in criteria level scores related to Tesla's parentheses lack of low carbon strategy and codes of business conduct. I'm going to pause the quote right there because S&P, DJI, ESG, they seem to be a fan of three-letter abbreviations. I have a three-letter abbreviation in reaction to that that I'll let you fill in the blank for here. I mean, shoot, I really wish somehow Tesla could come up with some sort of low-carbon strategy, maybe like producing millions of electric vehicles, maybe some way to, I don't know, like capture energy from the sun. Is that even possible? And if we were able to do that, where would we put that energy? Maybe we would need somewhere to store it. Ah, that would be such a good carbon strategy. I wish Tesla could do something like that. Back to not being sarcastic, that's probably one of the stupidest sentences I have ever read. Let's continue. Quote, in addition, a media and stakeholder analysis, a process that seeks to identify a company's current and potential future exposure to risks stemming from its involvement in a controversial incident, identified two separate events centered around claims of racial discrimination and poor working conditions at Tesla's Fremont factory, as well as its handling of the NHTSA investigation after multiple deaths and injuries were linked to its autopilot vehicles. Both of these events had a negative impact on the company's S&P DJI ESG score at the criteria level, and subsequently its overall score. While Tesla may be playing its part in taking fuel-powered cars off the road, it has fallen behind its peers when examined through a wider ESG lens. End quote. They close out this amazingly informative blog post by saying, quote, onward and upward, so while Tesla and others may not have been included in the index this year, the beauty of the annual rebalance is that they will once again have an opportunity to be reviewed for inclusion in years to come. For now, the rebalancing act of the S&P 500 ESG index has once again been achieved, end quote. All right, so basically Tesla doesn't have a carbon strategy, they got sued a couple of times, and gasp, their vehicles got in accidents, certainly something that does not happen anywhere else in the automotive industry. They don't even actually give us a breakdown of Tesla's ESG score. I had to do some Googling on this and found some older information. This was from March of last year. Cover your eyes because you might not want to see this. GM had an ESG score of 95 compared to Tesla at 22. Since that score, GM has sold millions of polluting ICE vehicles and less than 20,000 electric vehicles, while Tesla has sold zero polluting ICE vehicles and over a million EVs. I don't know how they're calculating their ESG scores, but I'm pretty sure if I had a business that was live streaming me dumping oil into Lake Michigan, my ESG score would be higher than Tesla's. Last part of this, and then we'll move on. I was able to find the 2020 breakdown of the E from the S and the G. I would have figured it was probably governance bringing Tesla down, but clearly it wasn't. Tesla scored about a 28 here on environmental, a 6 on social, and a 49 on governance. With GM's score being a 95, they certainly got a better environmental score than Tesla did. Oh, and a 6 social score? That's pretty cool for a company that is majority minority, pays above median wages, and has strong benefits, including stock-based compensation, which GM workers don't get, on a stock that has increased significantly. I guess if you get sued one time, though, score is a 6. I guess GM has just never been sued. Very, very impressive for GM. All right, let's move on. It's a bunch of nonsense. We spent too much time on it already. We do have an update here on the Texas-made Model Y. I believe Ganesh on Twitter was the first to report this. Tesla has started to email Model Y order holders in the Austin area, offering the chance to quote-unquote accelerate your Model Y delivery. Tesla says that you have the option to select a Model Y all-wheel drive and experience one of the first vehicles built at Gigafactory Texas and currently only available in the area. So we've kind of known these specs before, but now we see it officially on Tesla's site. This email links to a inventory selection tool. It shows these vehicles with a 5.0 second 0 to 60, 279 mile EPA range. That'll drop to 269 miles if you do the 20-inch induction wheels, and then the top speed, 135 miles per hour. As we had previously discussed, the starting price, $59,990. What we're seeing here are a little bit higher, just depending on the options that are selected. So I think this is actually a pretty clever way for Tesla to handle this as the production rate is low, to not put it in the design studio, but just to build them and then start offering them as an inventory option for select customers. It's kind of a covert way to handle it. I think it makes a lot of sense during this period of time. So it's a very exciting milestone. These will be the first 4680 vehicles in the hands of non-Tesla customers. That should start happening very soon, and then we can start to learn more about them. It's also kind of interesting that they are offering these to Texas order holders because the delivery laws in Texas are restrictive, so it'll be interesting to see how Tesla is working through that. All right, next we've got an update on supercharging, on Tesla opening up the charging network to other vehicles. Tesla today has now expanded this test to Belgium, the UK, Austria, Spain, and Sweden. I did see one report out of Belgium that this now becomes the largest charging network in Belgium, about 140 connectors, with a little over half of Tesla stations being open to the public. So Tesla continuing to pretty rapidly expand that test. Next, we've got some news out of China. Reuters is reporting today that China is in talks with automakers about extending subsidies for EVs, which have been planned to expire at the end of this year. Reuters does say that the full terms of an extension have yet to be finalized, but one thing that is under review would be a planned rollback of a purchase tax increase. Right now, there are no purchase taxes on EVs that had been planned to raise to 10%, but instead they're looking at raising that to just 5% next year. So potentially not quite as good as this year, but better than the original plan. So we'll keep an eye on this. The subsidies in China for Tesla's vehicles are not huge, but they do add up at the volume that Tesla is doing. All right, next we've got some cool news out of California. I think you all know that I'm not a big fan of looking at any individual region for any short period of time, but we do have registrations for vehicles in California for the whole first quarter. This is obviously the biggest auto market in terms of states in the United States, and a quarter is a pretty long period of time. Tesla in the first quarter had the top two selling vehicles in the entire automotive market, not just electric vehicles, any vehicle at all. That's a big deal. Tesla coming in ahead of the Toyota Camry, the RAV4, the Honda Civic, cars that are way, way cheaper, the Model Y and the Model 3, outselling them all. California puts the Model Y in the luxury compact SUV market, and with its sales of nearly 22,000 vehicles, Tesla had 55% share of that market, meaning they outsold all the other vehicles in that class with just the Model Y. Same thing for the Model 3 in the near luxury car category, 21,500 sales, 65% share. The Model S was also at the top of its class, only 25% share here, but 3,500 registrations. And then the Model X, obviously still working through production restart, had about 1,200 registrations and about 6% share in the luxury midsize SUV category. EVs in the state overall, it's a nice graph to look at, 14% market share in the first quarter versus a little bit above 9% for the entirety of the year last year. So very exciting stuff out of California there. When we're talking about signal and noise, Tesla being the top two selling vehicles in this market, that is signal. That is strong. Do not lose that. All right, last few items here. First, just a quick update from Adam Jonas of Morgan Stanley. They published a new note today, as they seem to do most days. We won't go through the whole note, but one thing did kind of catch my eye in here. He was talking about how just the more bearish market this is and how that reflects on some of the plans that we've heard from other automakers. He says GM and Ford each talk about investing $50 billion or so in EVs over the next few years. Those are bull market targets in a downturn. How can they spend cash they may not have? I think that's something that we all think about, but a really great reminder, especially with the economic uncertainty and change that we have seen here in the last few months. Next then, just a quick AI update from Elon. He did confirm on Twitter last night in response to Dave Lee asking if Tesla would show a sneak preview of TeslaBot at AI Day, that they would. So not sure exactly what that will mean, but something to look forward to there. And then FSD Beta 10.12, it looks like that has started to roll out to a very select group of employees. So shouldn't be too long now, and my guess is that at some point soon we're going to end up seeing those release notes leak out. So that is it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, May 19th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.